Okay, so we'll be live here in about 10 seconds if you want to start that. I'll try to remember to do a station breaks every 15 minutes or so. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Sharing Our Pairings, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in wherever you are out there in the world today. Robbie Raz here with you. You'll notice John didn't do his intro, and I'm using my Cigar Chat intro today. John is on assignment in Cuba, the assignment being go down to Cuba and enjoy yourself. So also known as vacation. He's taking a vacation. And he's sending us a bunch of pictures of all these cigars that he's getting down there and the rum and, you know, hanging out on the beach, and we're all jealous. But then he has to go back to Canada where it's 12 degrees or whatever, so I guess, yeah, all those, so when he's back home, I'll send him pictures of, you know, clear blue skies in California. Anyway, so I've got Aaron from Blind Man's Puff here to sit in and take over John's spot. Aaron, thanks for hanging out with us, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Why don't you, we'll get into our pairing and stuff a little bit. You've done the show before.
Yep.
A couple of times, but give everybody some background on your site. They may, if you know, maybe their first time tuning in, and they might not be familiar with Blind Man's Puff. Give them an idea of what
sure.
you guys do.
Yeah, we do blind cigar reviews with a panel of reviewers. So we typically try to do 5 reviewers per cigar, but sometimes we just have 4. And basically, they get the cigars with a blank band that just has a number on it. They smoke it. They put all their notes kind of into a form that comes back to me into a database, and then we basically put some snapshots from each of the reviewers' reviews. Into one review, and then put the scores together, get rid of some of the outliers, and then kind of come up with a group score for the cigar. You know, again, them not knowing what the cigar is, so it kind of takes out some of any potential biases, good or bad, for the cigar, so that we can try to get a true score for it without any kind of outside indicators in there.
Yeah, I love the concept. You guys have been around for a couple of years now, right?
Yes, since 2013.
2013, okay. Yeah, I love the concept, and I've actually done, I've sat in on some reviews for you guys.
Yep.
And it's an interesting experience, man, smoking a cigar where you have no idea what it is. I mean, usually if I go into a cigar, I can plan ahead if I know that it's going to be strong or mild or spicy, or, you know, because you usually have a general idea of what you're going towards. But smoking blind, especially if, like for me, when I was doing some the reviews for you guys, I'm a last minute kind of guy.
Yeah.
And so obviously, and if you guys, everybody probably knows that. So I'm doing a lot of the reviews in the morning, you know, on the last day that I have to do it. And, I always get a little nervous, 'cause you never know.
Yep.
You never know. I might be smoking a warhead or, or, you know, something from, some of those, Cro-Magnons or something like that.
Yep.
It's really knocking on your butt. But it's a really cool setup. If you guys haven't checked them out, it's blindmanspuff.com.
Yep.
And even the way that the scoring, the way that for a blind reviewer, when I'm putting in my scores, I'm not using numbers. It's, you know, I'm really like, what is my experience? And the numbers are extrapolated out of that. So it really is, I mean, you're really blind when you're going in.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not giving away the secret sauce by saying that. But
everything's yeah. We're pretty transparent. I mean, you can go in the at the bottom of the review and you could click back and see the all the full details. So you can see the full review from each reviewer. You could see the word descriptor they use, what that equaled out into a number, what scores got dropped, all those kinds of things. So there's no there's no secrets in regards to how we put the scores together, or, you know, kind of what we produce as the final product.
Yeah, I did one of the Rocky Patel Prohibitions. I think it was the Broadleaf.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed that cigar, and it's one of those cigars that I probably never would have tracked down, but given that I smoked it in your blind review, and I really, really enjoyed it. I actually made my personal top 10 for new releases, but I think with your scoring system, I ended up giving it like a 97, which
yeah,
but it was, I mean, that was what my experience was. I really enjoyed it. So
yeah, and one of the things we try to do is get, you know, a good array of cigars. So, you know, something that people might not normally smoke. Mm-hmm. Or since we're doing it in a group, it's, you know, one person may just shy away from a certain brand, but, you know, doing it blind, they're getting exposed to it, but they're not going into it, you know, saying, oh, I know I don't like this brand because of the last five I've tried have been horrible, but they go into it. And then sometimes they still don't enjoy it. And they can really say that they just don't like that company's profiles, or they could say, wow, this one really surprised me. Maybe I need to revisit this brand again. So
that's
kind of what we try to do.
Yeah, it's definitely a cool format. And you guys focus on all kinds of different cigars from, I've seen some reviews pop up, cigars that I've never even heard of that you guys are doing. And then, like I said, you're also doing Rocky Patels and things like that. So definitely all over the map with that. So that's really cool. Today we are, we're doing some pairings, obviously I'm sharing our pairings here, and we're smoking, the Viaje Satori, 2012. This is the Karma. And I think we actually both, we didn't really plan this, but we have the exact same cigar that we're smoking.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is kind of cool. I love this cigar. And this is actually my favorite offering. There's a new one every year. I think in 2012, there was actually three different Vitolas. Mm-hmm. Some of the specs on the cigar here, cheating by looking at a website. So Box Presser Busto, 5x50. Come on, there's a lot going on. I'm not going to remember everything.
That's all right. That's all right.
I'm going to have a hard time making sure I know which
exactly
is what, because they're all, I've got,
they're not in bottles.
Yeah, I've got exactly. They don't have logos on the cans. So yeah. Anyway, back to the cigar. Viaje Satori, it's the Karma Limited Edition 2012. Box Presser Busto, Mexican San Andreas Maduro wrapper, Nicaraguan binder, Nicaraguan filler. It's a full strength, full body cigar by most standards. For me, it's actually, and maybe it's just because these cigars are a few years old, this is a really smooth, really enjoyable smoke. It's definitely a full body in the sense that you're getting a ton of flavor from this thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would call it a full strength, but I mean, that's strength is as subjective as flavor for most people. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. What do you think? You've smoked this one before.
Yeah. It's still got a fair amount of strength to it. But you know, like you said, after a few years of it, kind of resting, it's, you know, it's probably eased up a little bit from what it was if you smoked it fresh, but, it's still there, you know, on the retrohale, you'll still get the spice, flying through the nose. So, you know, the strength is in there. But I think it's mellowed out nicely.
Yeah. I've explored the Satori line. This is one of the few lines in Viaje that I've really, tracked down. And Viaje with, I mean, so many different, white label projects and things like that. And, their whole approach to making cigars really is, you know, small run, small batch. They've got a few things that are standard runs, but and there are a lot of yearly things now, with the full moon having just, it's the full moon, right? Yeah, that's their Halloween one. And then they've got the Thanksgiving, the farmer bill and the turkeys. I picked all those up last year too, and I really enjoyed those. But this is the one line of Viaje that I seek out every year, and I haven't smoked this year's version yet, but definitely enjoy this 2012. The other one that I really liked was the Salamone. I can't remember what year that was. It was one of the first ones, I think. I should have looked that up beforehand. But anyway, they're all similar blends. They're not all the same. At least these 2012s were all the same, just different Vitolas. But like I said, there's three different Vitolas that year. Mm-hmm. And we're going to pair it with some hot cocoa. So it's a little bit different, spin than we usually have here on sharing our pairings. We tend to gravitate towards the booze, not because we have a problem, but that's just, it's, I don't know, it just tends to pair well. We've done some coffee shows in the past. Actually, we just recently did a coffee show with that about a month back. It's also difficult to keep the coffee warm throughout the show. I made this hot chocolate about 40 minutes ago.
Yeah.
So I'm holding my breath here. Hopefully it's going to work. So Aaron, we've each got three different types of hot chocolate. And it's funny. I was thinking, wow, okay, we'll do hot cocoa, but I don't really, I'm going to have to find, cause I've got like Swiss Miss that I can make in my Keurig or whatever.
Right.
I'm going to have to look for some hot cocoa. And you even brought me some the other day, and it's one that you're using. I'm not even using that one because it turns out I had like seven different kinds of hot cocoa in my cabinet and had no idea. So this is actually kind of fun for me. So, yeah, what's the first one that you're going with?
I did a Swiss Miss, just basic, standard milk chocolate style. So it's nothing fancy. You know, I think it's probably just traditional. I'm not sure anybody would be able to tell the difference between brands or anything like that. But with all the ones I went with tonight, I used milk instead of water just to try to make it a little bit more authentic, even though they're it's all mixes. So I'm not sure how authentic you can get, but I don't think it's anything special. You know, I think it's just chocolate, sugar, maybe some some powdered milk product of some sort or whatever you want to call it, though.
Yeah, I everyone that I made for the show tonight, they all called for milk. And I can't remember the last time that I sat at my stove, other than today, where you're warming up some milk in a pot and you're going to make hot chocolate.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you're constantly stirring the milk so it doesn't scorch in the bottom. And, like, it's a big process. It takes a couple of minutes. But usually I just pop it in the Keurig or whatever, and there's my hot chocolate. But for the first, I actually have everything that I've got is, I guess, somewhat exotic. I went with the Starbucks hot cocoa double chocolate, which, again, in my pantry we had 20 packets of this, and I have no idea where it came from. They were all sealed, though, so I feel pretty safe. It's rich, velvety cocoa with decadent bits of real dark chocolate blended right in. So it's a double chocolate, and then my next one's a double chocolate, and then my next one, my last one, is it's actually French. So I'm kind of – I feel high class.
Yeah.
Some highfalutin chocolate. And I'm hoping that it's warm, but I hope it's not too warm where it burns my tongue and jacks up the rest of the show. That's kind of what I'm leaning towards. But let me give this one a shot here and see how it goes. This is the double chocolate, hot cocoa double chocolate from Starbucks.
Yeah. I think using milk is definitely a good call. Otherwise, it's not very thick. So you just get a real thin, feel in the mouth. But I think with the milk, it really helps it a lot.
Wow. Sorry. Man, it's really, really rich.
Yeah.
You know, that's like, it's thick. I mean, it really is kind of thick and velvety, like they say on the descriptor. So maybe there's some placebo happening there, but that's, now I'm starting to wonder, why do I not make this every day?
Right.
I'm curious though to see how there's a lot more chocolate in here than I anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, it's still hot.
Well, I think it kind of helps that we're happen to be on a 70 degree day in California doing hot chocolate pairings. So
no kidding, right? I mean, I'm out here like I was thinking, oh, I got to throw on a sweatshirt and everything to go out to the office because I do the shows from my detached office in my backyard here, and I could be out here in a t-shirt. So I'm actually, and I was telling Aaron about this, I'm using these Contigo, just like travel mugs. And for some reason, we've accumulated a bunch of these. And these things are amazing as far as holding in the heat or keeping something cold. My wife and I actually bought these, not these ones I'm using, these other ones, bought them at Costco, and we took them on our trip down to Mexico because she was reading on Travelocity or one of those, not Travelocity, TripAdvisor, where people tell you, oh, we've been here, this is what you should do, this is what you shouldn't do, blah, blah, blah. and we brought them down for when you go down the beach and you get like the frozen drinks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Just pour them in there and they stay frothy for a long time. Like if you were to get a Slurpee, just like a regular Slurpee or an Icy down at 7-Eleven, mm-hmm. it would stay just like it's supposed to be the whole time. Right. It's nice. Kind of amazing how well these things hold temperature. So if you're looking for a travel mug, not that they paid me to say that, but these things work pretty well. We ended up actually both taking a puff at the same time, so that was a little bit of awkward silence there, but that's all right.
I'm not so sure this is that great of a pairing, at least for this first one.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. I seem to get like a weird taste from the cigar after I don't know if it's like the finish from the milk or the chocolate or whatever, but I seem to get kind of this weird flavor from the cigar.
One thing I'm noticing from the hot cocoa, you get that it's like a dry finish from it. Like it can almost kind of
the powderiness of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, this is mixed up as well as it's going to get. I'm shaking it around here. But you always get, and I always get that from hot cocoa, no matter whenever I drink it. It's it almost like it puckers your tongue a little bit. If that's not really what happens, but that's how it feels.
Right.
So, I mean, for me, I always try to, at least I say always, this is the first time I've paired with hot chocolate, but give myself a second in between. I let my mouth kind of acclimate before I take another puff.
Yeah.
One thing I will say, and this is what I was worried about going into this, is that I didn't think this cigar is going to have enough spice. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should do something a little bit spicier, because every time I've smoked this, excuse me, it's had a sweet chocolatey flavor to it.
Right.
And you know, maybe it's chocolate overload, but you'd mentioned that you're definitely getting a lot of spice on the retrohale. And that's one thing I always want to make sure I do when I'm pairing is, I mean, I retrohale all the time anyway, but sometimes, you know, I'm talking, you know, we're talking about different things. I forget. The retrohale is what makes this work for me, because the retrohale has that spice to it. And it's a pleasant spice. It's not like an overpowering black pepper. It's more of kind of a white, quote unquote, white pepper spice. Mm-hmm. On one show before, I said that white peppers don't exist, and they do exist, but that's not what I meant. And there's a couple of guys at Cigar Federation that give me a hard time. What I mean is, when I say when I refer to a white spice on a retrohale, or a white pepper spice, I'm not referring to the flavor of a white pepper. I'm just talking about more spice and heat than flavor. And it really does. It almost cleanses that palate for you from every puff. So yes, I am aware that there are white peppers. I don't think I've ever eaten one, so that's not when I talk about the flavor. That's not what I'm talking about. But I think this is all right. I mean, am I fired up about it? No. But it's good. If I was fishing,
I think in the cold, definitely this is like, this is a no-brainer pairing. If you know you're sitting out. Or if you live in Canada in the wintertime, like John, like this would be the perfect show. Like John's just missing out, man. But I mean, I think just keeping your hands wrapped around a hot cup, you know, keeping you warm, and then making the transition between this and the spice, I think that would be a good time.
I'm curious, and I didn't in your photo. I don't know. We haven't really talked about it. You had some peppermint schnapps in there. Mm-hmm. And I like to throw some peppermint schnapps or like a creme de menthe or something mm-hmm. in. Not that I don't think I actually have either one of those things in my bar, but in with the hot chocolate, that's really nice, right? And I'd be curious camping, sitting around the campfire, which I haven't been camping in years, but that's, I mean, there's something appealing to that. I mean, so far, I mean, it's fine. It's a decent pairing. I think the flavors from the cigar that rest on the palate are really kind of getting run over.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, really the main thing I'm focusing on is that bright spice on the retrohale that really kind of curbs the sweetness. And the little bit, the chocolate bitterness actually that you're getting, from the hot cocoa. So it's fine. I don't think it's doing, I think it's more of, this is something fun to have with my hot chocolate. Yep. As opposed to, this is something that's going to enhance my cigar experience.
Yeah. I mean, when I first thought about this pairing, I was like, oh, maybe I should do a Padron Maduro or something, because that's a pretty chocolatey cigar. But then I was like, nah, it's just going to be super chocolate. And then who knows which one you're going to taste. So then I thought about this cigar because I recall it having a lot of spice, but still had that little bits of chocolate in it. So I'm just wondering if maybe the 2012 version is not the way to go. Maybe if you did a more recent version, you did a 2014 or a current year one, that it might be a little different. But yeah, definitely something with more pepper or a lot more spice would maybe be a better pairing. But I mean, this is a fair pairing.
Yeah, we're only like 19 minutes in, man. I'm not ready to throw in the towel just yet.
Yeah.
Oh no, and a cigar that I just smoked, and I think you smoked. We hung out over the weekend. We had some. We had some nice beers. We could actually get into that in a little bit, because mm-hmm. we did drink some pretty good stuff. The Tatuaje H-Town Lancero, mm-hmm. which is an exclusive to Stogie's in Houston. That profile, very earthy and a lot of pepper. Something like that is going to offset the sweetness on this really, really nicely. And the sweetness is going to offset the kind of I'll say maybe bland earthiness that I got from that cigar. Wasn't one of my favorites, but I know a lot of guys on Cigar Federation really enjoy it because they like that big earthy profile with a lot of pepper. That's not really my my speed, but something like that might work well. Guys, you're listening to Sharing Our Pairings, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network. We're pairing a Viaje Satori limited edition Edición Limitada, 2012, in the Karma size, the 5.5 by 5 by 52 box press, pairing it with some hot cocos. Got a question here from Jeff Madre. We'll jump in. And I don't know if I can really answer this or if you can answer this, but we'll give it a shot. And he says, if one were interested in beginning to drink hot cocoa, what would you consider a good starter cocoa? Now is there a lot of different hot cocos and like specialty hot cocos? I'm sure there are.
I think there are.
Yeah.
I mean there's probably a ton of like, you know, Ghirardelli or, you know, any of the other ones that you got. Yeah, there you go. So, I mean, there's a million hot cocos, man.
Well, what I mean is like when there's always a following for like every industry, right? We're a prime example of the cigar industry, the beer industry. And there's different kinds of beer. There's different kinds of wine. Are there different kinds of hot cocoa? I have no idea. This is normally where John would step in and say, well, cocoa was invented in 1872. And, you know, and he would break it down, and I love him for that. But that's I don't have that cocoa knowledge. You know, Jeff, if you've never had hot chocolate before, one thing I will say, when you go to other countries and this will be evident later when I crack open this one from Paris. My wife and I on our honeymoon, we were lucky enough to go to Paris and Madrid. And in Madrid, you go and the hot chocolate that they have there, hot cocoa, is very, very different. And you don't really drink it. I mean, like you kind of do, but it's really thick and it's almost syrupy. And you get it. We got it with the chocolate and churros. The long skinny churros. Oh man, forget about it. That was good, but it's like you're dipping it into hot chocolate sauce almost.
Right.
But it's a bit more complex than just like a Hershey sauce. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely more stuff out there. If you've never had it, just get some basic. You know, like you had the Swiss Miss. Mm-hmm. This from Starbucks. I mean, obviously you could go down to any Starbucks and pick this up. I don't think there's anything particularly special about this.
And I mean, you can go to Starbucks and just order a hot chocolate or any coffee shop and get a hot chocolate. I mean, just if you want to start out with that way you don't have to buy anything that you need to take home with you and have leftovers if you don't like it.
I mean, if you like chocolate.
Oh, yeah. I mean, unless you're allergic to chocolate, I'm going to say you're going to like hot chocolate. So
yeah, yeah, that's pretty much the deal. Jeff, thanks for the question. I mean, I'm sure there's all kinds of specialties out there that have different kind of flavors and, all kinds of different things happening, cocoa from different countries. And I'm sure there's different flavor profiles, just like coffee. Mm-hmm. I'm not hip to that knowledge, if you will. Mm-hmm. Let's move on. We've got a couple more audience questions, but we'll got one from Harley Holmes here, but that's really more, end of the show question. So we'll move into our second pairing here. I'm going with, you had mentioned Ghirardelli, and being a Bay Area kid, how could I not have Ghirardelli? Again, in the cabinet, had about 15 packets of this stuff, and I don't know where. I've never bought this, not once.
You can go in. I think you can go into anybody's house and find some packets of hot chocolate. So
that's true. We don't have kids or anything like that either. I think my wife brought some home, like somebody brought some into the office or something. It's the kind of stuff that shows up around Christmas. Mm-hmm. You know, people always bring it in. But this one, it's Ghirardelli, double chocolate as well. I didn't realize that I was doubling up on my double chocolates. Again, hot cocoa with milk. This doesn't really have much of a descriptor on here at all. One thing, and the reason that I did this one second, the first one, the Starbucks, it's 2 tablespoons of cocoa powder, and they said you put that in with a cup of milk. This one only calls for 6 ounces, so I have a feeling that it's going to be a little bit stronger in the chocolate flavor. So I'm curious to see how this goes out. What's your second one?
So my second one's also a Swiss Miss. Basically, like you said, last Christmas, I got this big packet of hot chocolate. So it's got like six different hot chocolates in it. So this one that I have now is it's a dark chocolate version of the milk chocolate one I had earlier. So same brand, everything, all the same details, just more of a dark chocolate kind of profile to it.
So it's a little bit more bitter maybe?
Yeah.
I do like dark chocolate. I'm not a big chocolate guy to begin with. I'm not really big on sweets, really. I'm more of a bag of chips kind of guy when I'm kind of crack into one of my rices and gain some weight. But when it comes to sweets, I'll take a bag of Skittles over a bag of M&Ms kind of guy.
Yeah.
And so having, you know, really deep chocolate stuff is not something I'm really used to. This one is very, very thick, just like I thought it was going to be based on. It's only 2 ounces of milk, but
right,
it's that's a big difference between 6 ounces and 8.
Yep.
It's sweeter though. It doesn't have that kind of puckering thing on the tongue that I was getting on the other one. So, I mean, I'm trying to get too technical with this stuff, really, because honestly, I feel like I don't have much to talk about as far as the types of cocoa are concerned. So I'm really worried about filling up the show. So I'm going to keep rambling, but it's a basic hot chocolate, and it's actually really, really good. It almost, to me, tastes like when you're a kid and you've got your Hershey's that you're scooping, you know, and you're making chocolate milk, and you're supposed to put in a full glass, you're supposed to put 2 tablespoons, but you put 8.
And you got the big cake at the bottom of in that clear glass. Yeah.
Oh, that's the best part. You scoop that out at the end. But yeah, it kind of tastes like that. It's really, really sweet. It's really, really thick. It's really, really chocolatey.
Yeah. So this one's a little different because with the dark chocolate, it's not as sweet. So it's definitely a different experience than the first one. First one was just, you know, really sweet, really chocolatey. And then you go to the cigar and it's like, you're muted for the first couple of draws on that cigar. But with this one, it's different because you get kind of a contrasting profile. So you kind of get the cigar spice pretty much on that first draw. It's still super creamy because, you know, using the milk, but with less sweetness from the cocoa, that really lends itself better to working with at least this cigar.
Interesting. So it's got maybe a little bit, it's got, like you said, less, it's not as sweet, but maybe a little bit more, a little bit more complexity, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
As far as the flavor is concerned.
It's as complex as Swiss Miss hot chocolate can get, I guess. So
again, I'm working with what I got here.
Yep. Yep.
Hey, this was your idea, man.
When we get to the Parisian version, I expect some complex flavors.
Oh, it's going to get real when I crack that one open. This is good. It's definitely sweeter. And so it really does kind of run over the palate, and it's a bit unfortunate because it's really good. And I'm glad that I know that I've got, you know, another 10, 12 packets of this, because this is some good stuff to fire up on a cold winter evening. And it's only 80 calories. That's not too bad.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm looking at that, but it's not that bad. But yeah, the pairing's a little bit tough with the cigar. I mean, really all I'm getting is the flavor on the retrohale. Mm-hmm. And I even took a sip of water in between just to kind of cleanse the tongue a little bit, clear the palate a little bit.
Yeah.
And that helped. But it's still, from a cigar standpoint, we should have gone much, much spicier.
Yeah.
Aroma Craft or something.
Right.
You know?
Yep. I mean,
and this is, like you were saying, this is traditionally a spicy cigar, but it's, for me, I'm only getting spice on the retrohale at this point.
Yeah.
But still enjoyable. But yeah, I mean, just now, I've already taken a sip of water and like 2 or 3 puffs. I'm starting to get the flavor from the cigar back on my palate and not just through the retrohale. So it really does, it kind of deadens the nerves a little bit, you know?
Right. Yeah, this dark chocolate one I think it's a really good pairing, actually. It's just a different profile. I mean, getting rid of that sweetness, I think, is a big, I mean, otherwise they're identical. You know, using milk, same amount from the powder, definitely able to go between the others without having to overload on the cigar to try to get that to show up on the profile.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've never actually had. Yeah, so here we go. There are different kinds. There's dark chocolate, and there's probably semi-sweet chocolate.
There's got to be a white chocolate at one as well. Oh, I mean,
I don't really like white chocolate.
I can maybe take like a little bit of it, and I'm okay. But if you eat too much, it's just like feel like I'm gonna get sick.
Yeah, it's just too. It's too sweet for me. Mm-hmm. I've never really had, and white chocolate, depending on, isn't it like not even really chocolate?
Yeah, I don't even know.
this is above my pay grade, man. I'm with you. And I'm trying to think, because I worked at Starbucks for exactly 2 months. I hated that job. Oh God, man, I hated that job. I was lucky to have a job at the time. I was in college and all that, blah blah blah. But I hated it, and luckily I found another one. Selling sporting goods, which was much more up my alley. I didn't have to be there at 4 a.m. And I'm trying to remember, and they all have all kinds of peppermint hot chocolate and things like that. That would be interesting, but that's probably just too much flavor.
Yeah, like in Starbucks, you know, they have this salted caramel hot chocolate and things like that too. So you just have to, I guess, play around with it and see if there's, you know, once you get too much stuff going on.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. So I think the so far, what we've learned is go with the dark chocolate.
Yeah, that would be my recommendation to this point.
Or something with a lot more spice.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's funny because we talked about this and, you know, we said, what should we smoke? And it turned out we both had some Satori's. I said, okay, that's perfect. Let's do that. But once we sat down and I fired up the cigar, I thought, this probably isn't the right way to go.
Yeah.
And that was about 2 minutes before the show started, so it was too late to change at that point. But it's still, I'm bagging on it a little bit too much. This is still a good experience. Mm-hmm. It's just highlighting the cocoa more than anything else.
Yeah.
So let's see. So yeah, just like I was thinking, we're going to have to talk about some beer and stuff after this.
That's not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing. We're coming up on our final pairing here.
I got a bonus pairing with the schnapps, so
that's right. You did go with four. I could crack open some beers here. I've got them in my office. I got to keep working tonight, though. I've got deadlines and stuff, so I can't. That's one of the reasons I was excited about this show because I'm going to leave here.
Be productive the rest of the evening.
Yeah, instead of leaving here with a little bit of a buzz, I'm leaving here with like a sugar high. So
yeah,
so that's a good thing. So let's jump into the next one. What's your third pairing?
So my third one is called Abuelitas, and it's made by Nestle, and it's actually a Mexican hot chocolate. And this comes in tablets, which are about the size of maybe a hockey puck, I would say. And basically what you're supposed to do with this tablet is you'd mix it with four cups of milk, and basically you just throw it on the stove and over medium heat, and then just kind of melt it down. Keep whisking whisking everything while it melts out, and it kind of starts to dissolve for you. But the Mexican hot chocolate is supposed to have a little bit of spices or cinnamon to it. Now, if you have real Mexican hot chocolate, it's fantastic. I would recommend, you know, seeking something out like that. But it's usually cinnamon, maybe a little bit of chili powder, and some other things in it. It just gives it, it's a very different profile than a standard hot chocolate. So that's kind of what I'm going with this next version.
Yeah, you actually, you brought one of those over to me, and I was going to use that until I figured out that I had a ton of hot chocolate in the cabinet. And in retrospect, I probably should have, because my first two pairings are very similar. My third pairing is definitely outside the realm of Starbucks and Ghirardelli. Now, I don't speak any French, and when I was in Paris, I tried my best, and I think everybody appreciated that I gave it a shot, and then they all spoke English to me. This is Le Chocolat. It's from Maxim's de Paris. And my wife and I, like I said, picked this up on our honeymoon. It's one of those things that you go into all those different shops and think, well, I got to buy stuff for everybody. You spend like 2 days of your vacation just buying gifts and trinkets for people.
Yeah.
And we actually bought this for ourselves. And like I said, we never used it. This has been sitting in my cabinet since 2010. and it just doesn't age. So it's not like it got better. And after reading the ingredients that it could have traces of egg, milk, gluten, shell nuts, and soybean in it, it kind of made me feel like maybe I shouldn't be drinking this. But I tried it. I tried it earlier, and it tasted fine. And this is much more along the lines of, obviously, of a European style hot chocolate. It's going to be thicker. It's going to be much sweeter. So I'm not anticipating this pairing getting any better. But I am excited to try this because I've really only taken one small sip. So I'm going to jump in, and hopefully this is still warm.
Yeah. So this Abuelita's, I think it'd be a basic recipe if you wanted to try to make it yourself. Basically, what that would be is take a regular hot chocolate, get one of those little boxes of Red Hots. I don't know if you ever had those when you were a kid.
Yeah.
Those little disc cinnamon candies. Mm-hmm. If you just open up one of those little boxes, threw it in the pot while you were mixing the hot chocolate up, that's exactly what it tastes like. Just a little, a little bit of cinnamon there with the chocolate. And the chocolate's not overly sweet like the milk chocolate one I had initially. It's kind of a milder chocolate flavor, but that, that little cinnamon that's in there, it's a nice enhancement. I mean, I'm a huge cinnamon fan, so anything with cinnamon in it, I'm going to give it a shot. But that's kind of how this chocolate profiles.
And you were anticipating that because you've had this before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because this didn't strike me as something that you would just happen to have and without seeking it out. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like hot chocolate from Paris. You're not just going to have it sitting in your cabinet unless, you knew you had it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this is exactly how I anticipated, except it's not quite as sweet. It's thicker. It's definitely got a thicker mouthfeel to it. It's creamier. It's almost like if you have like a dark chocolate brownie batter, when you eat it before, when it's still got the raw eggs and stuff in it, when you're not supposed to, but it's still really good. It's kind of like that, but liquefied.
Right.
It's as awesome as it sounds. It's really good. but I actually haven't had a chance to take a puff on the cigar yet just to see how it pairs. So I'm going to do that here. I'm going to take a few more sips and try to pair it up. But this is pretty phenomenal. The container here, it just has a bunch of stuff in French. Except on the bottom, it does tell you, it does give you the ingredients in English and a few other languages, but I guessed as far as how much I should put in here. I went with 2 tablespoons and 1 cup, like I was doing with the Starbucks. So, and I guess that's pretty standard. So that was just my guess.
It's not overly chocolatey or you think it's the good combination?
Yeah, it feels like I guessed pretty much right. And I mean, I imagine unless you 8 cups to 1 scoop or, whatever.
Right.
For the most part, you can get it right, kind of idiot proof, like most coffee is. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it's not too sweet. And I like that. It's definitely got the texture and the flavor profile of the stuff that we had when we were in Spain, which that was thicker, but you're dipping the churros in there, so you don't care because that's, mm-hmm. you've got a real thick hot chocolate and you're dipping churros in it. Life's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. So this one, it's similar to that the first one I had where the creaminess, I think, just kind of doesn't lend itself to a good pairing with this cigar in regards to that kind of coating that you have on your tongue. It's still lost there until you take it, unless you go through a couple draws of the cigar before you go back to the cocoa. But I mean, you have cinnamon, so then you're like, am I getting the cinnamon? Is there any cinnamon in the cigar that I'm missing out on or anything like that? So, yeah, it's a bit of a masking version of hot chocolate for this cigar.
Yeah.
It's good on its own.
I'm curious if there's going to be any cigars that would be good.
Right.
That you're really going to get the full experience from because of the way that the stuff coats your tongue. Maybe the Swiss mist that you pop in your Keurig that you make with water, maybe that's better.
Yeah.
And in retrospect, I probably should have made one of those just to see.
Right.
I could get up and go do that now, but I'm not going to leave you here alone for 4 minutes to talk to yourself. I'd be curious. But I will say about this, in this instance, because this is kind of, I mean, I don't know if this was expensive or anything, but it's from, you know, I was in Paris when I bought it, so it's really cool. And you kind of, I'm okay with the fact that that's the highlight of what's happening here, that it's, I'm having this hot chocolate because that's what I want to have. And I'm just going to have a cigar with it.
Right.
And you know, the fact that this stuff really does coat the tongue so much, I'd be curious if there's really any cigar that can cut through that. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it would be tough. Yeah. Unless you went with something crazy. And you know, I think you have to be looking for a pepper or a spice flavor that's strong rather than just the strength of a cigar, because if you're the nicotine's not a flavor. It's just it's an experience. And that's not what you're really looking for there. You're just looking for some other flavor that's going to come in. That's a very strong, a very dominating flavor. A crazy pairing would be like a KFC or something like that. Who knows? Like, I don't know, like, if that's crazy enough to be something that you can like see what happens, but
that's actually
a strong flavor.
That's not a bad idea. You know, with the salty characteristic, chocolate and salt go really well together.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I'd be curious to try that. I wish we would have thought about that beforehand. Although, yeah, I've got KFCs I could have smoked.
Yeah.
Maybe for another time, because I think this is the kind of pairing that, especially this time of year, it's mid-November already, that it's the kind of thing that you'd want to have. I mean, a lot of guys, I mean, like you said, we're lucky enough, we're in California and it's 70 degrees today.
Mm-hmm.
But I looked, it's supposed to rain like all next week.
Yeah.
Like the whole week. That's awesome.
Yep.
On a day like that's perfect. On a day like that, I could sit out on my patio. Luckily, because my patio is covered, and have a hot chocolate and smoke a cigar, and maybe I'll do that and try one of the KFCs and see.
Yeah.
But I will say that this pairing is probably my favorite of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not quite as sweet. I am, once that coating kind of goes away from the tongue a little bit, if this slows you down, if anything else, you know, you take that sip, you kind of let your tongue kind of acclimate to what's going on, get rid of that coating, and then take a puff of the cigar. And the flavors really do go well together. You just have to give them time to be able to get to that point, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's, I mean, you sit down, you're smoking a cigar, that's a time-consuming thing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really want to stretch it out, grab a hot cocoa.
Yeah, and a lot of guys, I mean, in the cold temperatures, they're like, well, I got to smoke a short cigar because I got to get in and out of this cold. But if you're having a hot drink with it, that might be able to extend your stay outside. So if you're not in, you know, I mean, if you're not in a place that's, you know, 10 degrees or zero or below, that you can, you know, kind of make that happen, it might be the perfect way to do something that can keep you going. If you don't want to go with a coffee or a hot cider or something like that.
Hot cider would not be very good.
Yeah. Yeah. Too sweet, probably.
Yeah. And just that, and we did a hard cider show, and
yeah.
I think that was one of the other shows that you did.
Yep. That was the first show I did.
And that didn't go too well, if memory serves.
It went well for me. It didn't go well for John, but we didn't do the same cigar. He went with, I'm blanking on what he went with, but he went with a pretty strong profile. And I went with something, you know, fairly mild. So I think it worked a little bit better for me in regards to that pairing.
Yeah, I just, whenever I have like mulled spice cider, it's good and I like it. And mulled wine, actually mulled wine might be interesting though.
Mm-hmm.
And I've come around on mulled wine. My wife always makes it every year and she always tries to push it on me because whenever she makes it, you make kind of like a bigger pot of it.
Right.
So you want some mulled wine? I say, yeah, whatever, fine, I'll take it. Just so she'll stop asking. And I've actually gotten to the point where I do enjoy it. So that might be interesting, but I don't know about too many different types of mulled wine.
Yeah.
To get back to this pairing, and I keep wandering around the topic. I actually do kind of like this last one, and it's just because the other ones, the other chocolate or other hot cocos were too overpowering. But this last one's thicker. It's a nice experience. And if you, like I said, if you let your tongue kind of get acclimated, let that coating that you're going to get just kind of go away, the flavors in the cigar, that spice, a little bit of earthiness, and even some sweetness that you're getting there already, It pairs really well with the flavor profile. You just have to let it, you got to let it happen.
Yeah. And as the cigar progress, as this cigar progresses, at least, I think it's becoming a better blend as it goes along. It's, for me, it was fairly spicy at the beginning and then it kind of died out, but now it's like, it's kind of coming back together with a little bit more, spice in the mouthfeel rather than just on the retrohale. So it's kind of, now it's starting to pick up where you can kind of break through some of the creaminess to kind of get a little bit of a mix of both aspects.
Yeah. And I was actually thinking the same thing because, it keeps going out on me because I keep talking, but, when John's not here, I just go, I think you might have a point. I think I'm going to travel back through these pairings while we talk for the next, we got another like 15 minutes to go, 10, 15 minutes to go.
Yeah.
So we've got a question here. This is a good time for Harley Holmes' question. Steve's always good for asking his questions. He says, online reviews mention cocoa flavors in the Satori cigar, which you're definitely going to get those. You get that out of every single one that I've smoked. And like I said, the blends change from year to year, but they're kind of along the same profile. Does hot cocoa walk over Satori's cocoa flavor or add to it? And I feel like we've kind of answered that question as we've gone through. That's why I wanted to ask it at the end as opposed to at the beginning.
Right.
I would say yes. I mean, it's definitely the sweetness from these hot cocos, and even the last one from Maxim's that I've had, Maxim's, I don't know which way you're supposed to say it, but even that one wasn't as sweet, but it's still cloying compared to, compared to the sweetness you get out of the cigar, so I would say, a resounding yes, it does kind of overpower that, but it's bringing out some more, like you were saying, Aaron, it's bringing out some more earthy notes, some more spice as the cigar progresses. And maybe that's happening on its own anyway, but I think it's, as we progress through the cigar, the pairing is definitely getting better.
Yeah. And I think so. What some people fall into when people are talking about flavors they get out of a cigar is when you say cocoa or chocolate, I mean, it's really a hint. If you smoke a cigar expecting to be eating a Hershey's bar, that's not happening. It's really just hints of flavors, around the tobacco and the spice and the pepper or whatever other main, attractions that you're getting there. So yeah, it's when you're, drinking cocoa is the dominant flavor and it's really going to be there, but I think for a cigar to break through, with a similar flavor, it'd probably be one of the best cigars that you ever smoked if it had that much cocoa or chocolate to it, So
yeah, or it's infused with something.
Exactly. So yeah, I mean, I think for the most part, any kind of drink is gonna, if you're looking at similar flavors, the drinks typically are gonna be overpowering what you get from the cigar in that same realm.
Yeah, absolutely. But thanks to Steve for the question. And I mean, that's something that we've touched on other shows. This is show number 46. So we go every other week. So what's that? We're coming up on about 2 years that we've been doing the show, and, some pairings work, some pairings don't. But when you talk about the flavors you're getting out of a cigar and the flavors you get out of a bourbon or a whiskey, or a scotch or, whatever, different kind of whiskey, you're talking about flavors in the same context, right? It's when I say I'm getting notes of chocolate, it's not like hot chocolate. It's just, you're kind of dancing around that chocolate flavor, is the way that I would describe it. And a lot of the times, I mean, when I'm smoking something, it reminds me of chocolate, or it reminds me of graham cracker or raisin or whatever. It doesn't necessarily taste exactly like it. Mm-hmm. But it's the essence of that flavor is there. And I feel the same thing when you're talking about bourbon. When you're talking about beer, it's a little bit different. When you talk about a chocolate stout, it tastes like chocolate.
Yeah, because they've actually added that flavor to the beer. Yeah, so it's definitely there.
Yeah, you get a good cocoa nib in there. I don't know what a cocoa nib is. What's a nib? Do you know?
I have no idea.
That's whenever
is,
I look at...
Is it like rib tips or something like that? I don't know.
How does that sound like... Is that something you wear to keep yourself safe?
No, rib tips? It's for meat. Your, it's meat, man.
For her pleasure? What are we talking about?
Those are ribbed tips.
Oh, I see. I'm lost now. I don't know what we're talking about.
Cocoa nibs.
It's funny. We usually derail on shows like this when we have alcohol, but we haven't had any alcohol. Mm-hmm. But that's what I always see when I pick up a chocolate stout or something. Cocoa nibs. So you've got one more pairing. I don't.
Yeah, so I've already started into it. So what I did is I took some of the first cocoa that I had, which was the milk chocolate from Swiss Miss, and I added, I'd say probably 2 ounces of Haremacher peppermint schnapps to it. And this is a mix that I do whenever, not, I wouldn't say whenever, but when I'm actually having hot chocolate on a cold night, especially if you're just sitting around a fire or something like that. It just adds a little bit of that peppermint to the mix. But with this, I think it helps out because it thins out the chocolate a little bit. And also the mint, I think, kind of freshens up or wakes up your tongue a little bit. So it actually, like, once you drink the cocoa and then you take a draw on the cigar, you're a little more apt to get the flavors from the cigar there to kind of mix in with the mint and the chocolate as well. So it's actually a pretty good pairing as well. Cause it, like I said, the milk chocolate was just too creamy, too overpowering, but when it's thinned out a little bit with that mint, it kind of, it just gives you, I think, the ability to pick up some of the flavors of the cigar.
Yeah. That's funny. You get something like that and it can kind of provoke your palate into other things. And yeah. People ask me, when you're smoking a cigar, how do you cleanse your palate? And I don't think there really is one particular way. I've heard so many different things. Mm-hmm. I had a guy who tried to tell me that he would eat slices of cucumber in between, because that would clean his palate. I don't know if there's anything in cucumber that actually does that, or if it's just, this is so opposite from what I'm having that it kind of changes things, like you were saying about the peppermint, same kind of concept.
Yep.
But it's funny when you think about things like that would clean your palate with a very distinct taste, like coffee. Coffee's a great palate cleanser for me. And what you think about that, like, coffee's got such a strong flavor to it. But I do the same thing. Like when I'm doing a beer review for my other website, mixedandmashed.com, if I'm trying to get the nose of the beer or something and there's, I don't know, I'll grab some coffee beans and sniff that just to clear out my sinuses a little bit, mm-hmm. clean things up, and then I can actually get a really good nose in the beer. So it's funny how stuff like that works. I don't know the science behind it.
Yeah.
I'm sure someone does, but it sounds like that's the same kind of concept here.
Yeah. And I was actually listening to a podcast today that had the guy from Hammer and Sickle on there, and they do, you know, other than cigars, they also do vodka. And he was kind of talking about pairings, because they were asking about, you know, does the vodka pair with any of the cigars? And he was saying, well, it's actually a good palate cleanser because he said that clear spirits tend to do that. So, you know, a vodka or a gin or something like that is more apt to clear things up over more of a brown liquor, like a, you know, a bourbon or a scotch or something like that. So, and peppermint schnapps is a clear liquor. So, you know, and the mint, I'm assuming, is a big factor in that. But, you know, maybe there's something to that piece as well.
I don't know if I could just sit there and sip vodka in between cigar puffs.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be an interesting try, I guess.
No, I'm sure some people can do it. And I really enjoy my booze. I like to taste the alcohol. I'm not, you know, give me a shot of 151 kind of guy. Mm-hmm. One thing that I've never been able to get into vodka.
It's supposed to be a flavorless, you know, a flavorless spirit. So it's usually mixed with something.
But so. I mean, I've had one of my closest, dearest friends, my college roommate who passed away, he would always get, a shot of vodka with, or two shots or whatever, with three ice cubes. Mm-hmm. And he would kind of swirl it around as the ice cubes would melt, and he would just drink it. Yeah. How in the hell can you do that?
Right, right.
And I could think about doing that with gin. I'm coming around on gin because gin has a flavor to it, that juniper berry note in there. And there's other flavors in there, and there's different styles of gin that have different flavors. I mean, go try like a Bombay Sapphire and then try a Hendrix, and you'll really see there's a very different flavor there.
Yep.
But again, I'm mixing that into cocktails. I'm making, you know, a Tom Collins or a Gin Ricky or something like that. Which that's a very, Gin Ricky is a very underrated cocktail. I actually was, I ordered it once at a restaurant. The guy's like, what is that? And
it's always fun when you got to tell the bartender how to make the drink.
And I was like, it's just, really? Okay. But, I mean, I know it's not the kind of drink that's on everybody's, you know, specialty list, but it's really just, it's just gin and simple syrup and lime.
Yeah.
There's not a lot going on there. It's pretty simple. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, I just sipping on vodka. I would like to actually get someone from Hammer and Sickle to come on because they've got that peated cigar, which I haven't smoked. Have you smoked that? Like Kalanah or whatever it is?
Kalanah. Yeah, I have smoked it. It's a pretty good cigar. It's 25% of the tobacco is peat fired, but they're supposed to be coming out with 50% in the next couple months, and then at the IPCPR show next year, they'll be releasing the 75% peat fire cured filled. So the 25% was a little bit light for me. I'm definitely looking forward to the 50%. You could get a little hint of it, you know, when you smoke it, but it just wasn't enough for me. But I understand them trying that as the first release because the like the fire cured stuff can be very overpowering.
Yeah.
So I think 50% might be the good mixture point good for that ratio. Cigar. Yeah.
Are you a Scotch drinker?
I like peaty scotches, so that's kind of that one's right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
But yeah, it wasn't peaty enough for me, but it was still an enjoyable cigar. You know, don't take that away from it. But yeah. It's more on the mild side.
Okay.
A lot of Corojo in that cigar.
Interesting. Peaty scotches. What's your favorite?
Lagavulin.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the Lag 16.
Yep.
Got it at Costco. We were talking about that.
Yeah, it's always cheap. It's like 54, 55 bucks, something like that. So it's crazy. I don't know that you can beat that.
That's crazy. It's so good. And it's one of the – and I say this with a smile on my face. It's one of the things that I can buy and put in my bar that my wife will never drink.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just that the smokiness is, you know, for a lot of people to turn off. So it's kind of a good detractor to keep them out of your stuff.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, I'd call it like a step or two, maybe a step above Oban 14, mm-hmm. And a step below Lafroig.
Yeah.
So it's kind of right in there. It's not too overpowering, but I know a lot of people are not big fans of that. But
yep.
We are right up against it. So, yeah, I'm going to say that my favorite pairing for the night was the Maxims from Paris. And, you know, thoughts and prayers to everybody out there in France and all the stuff that they're dealing with. So, on that note, thanks to everyone in the armed forces who's out there dealing with things that, as I've said before, I'm not built to deal with. So, thank you guys for everything that you do and putting yourself in harm's way so that we can, be safe and have our freedom. We appreciate that. Hopefully gave you guys, an hour of semi-interesting conversation today. Yeah, hopefully you guys are, everybody's out there being safe. So we'll be back in a couple weeks. John will be back. I'm not sure what we're going to be pairing.